roots be back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Everyone's favorite fan of all things Abandon is back. Gordon Goldsborough joins us in studio with his latest installment of Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bryce.
Okay, so what are we talking about this week?
Well, in previous episodes of Abandoned Manitoba, we have discussed an award program sponsored by the Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba with assistance of the Manitoba Historical Society. This week, we are talking about the four people who received an award this year.
Okay, so what's the purpose of these awards?
The program recognizes people who have done good work in preserving and promoting the history and heritage of their community, or Manitoba as a whole. The work can be in many different areas, doing historical research, publishing books or other media, developing or operating museums, and a host of other activities. As of this year, the Lieutenant Governor made two changes to the eligibility criteria. The awards are now given exclusively to volunteers. Those who do historically oriented work as their job are not eligible, although we hope in time that a new award will recognize their valuable contributions. The other major change is that whereas in the past the award recipients had typically spent decades doing what they do, nominations of people under 40 were especially welcome this year. We hope that award recognition will encourage these, what we might call emerging historians, to continue their active involvement in Manitoba's heritage and history community.
Let's hope so. How long has this award program been going on?
It was inaugurated in 2011 by Lieutenant Governor Philip Lee, and it's been continued by his successors, Janice Filmon, and of course now Anita Neville. To date, 60 people have been recognized, and I should note that gender, ethnicity, and geographic location have no bearing on a person's probability of receiving an award. It's based solely on the quality of their work. You know, so for example, over the 13-year period of the program, 30% of the awards have gone to people in Winnipeg, which, of course, does not at all match the city's proportion of Manitoba's population.
So what's the role of the Manitoba Historical Society in this program?
We receive nominations by a due date, usually in late February, and a committee of the Historical Society evaluates all nominations to make recommendations to the Lieutenant Governor. Ultimately, though, the selection of the award recipients is made by Her Honor.
So how do people get nominated for the award?
Well, typically people are nominated by someone who is familiar with their contributions and can speak about them. A nomination consists of a detailed account of the work for which a person is being nominated, accompanied by at least three letters of support from people in the community. We find the level of detail in the nomination translates directly into its likelihood of success. Submissions that are long and richly detailed stand a much better chance of being recommended to Her Honor.
Okay, that's helpful to know. So who were the recipients this year?
Well, again, there were four of them this year, and we'll go through them in alphabetical order. Our first is Doug Evans of Winnipeg. He's had a lifelong interest in culture and history arising from childhood travels with his father. As a member of the Manitoba Archaeological Society, he was involved in investigations in northern Manitoba. In the late 1960s, he worked with the Manitoba Museum to acquire and document northern cultural heritage that culminated in a book that he published in 2008 entitled Noah's Last Canoe, The Lost Ark of Cree Birchbark Canoe Building. Passionate about Flin Flon's history, Doug co-founded the Flin Flon Heritage Project, and over a period of many years, he and others have collected over 50,000 photos and put them in an online archive that you can find at flinflonheritageproject.com.
Okay, and who else?
Well, our next recipient was Nelson Gerard of Arberg. He's been described as the most important historian of the Icelandic community in North America. He speaks Icelandic fluently, and in 1985, he published a book called The Icelandic River Saga. It's basically the definitive book on the history of the Gimli region. Nelson willingly shares his extensive personal collection of historical and genealogical materials that relate to Icelandic history. In 2006, he founded the Icelandic River Heritage Sites, Inc., to restore the former residence of Sigtryggr Jonasson, who is considered the father of New Iceland. Nelson designed a bronze statue of Jonasson for display in Riverton. He uses his training in fine arts to design attractive signs. People have probably seen these attractive blue signs in the Gimli area that have historic names, and they're on homes and buildings all over the region.
Okay, so a couple other recipients?
Well, number three was Dick Remus of Emerson. He's been active with the Post Roge Heritage Group, serving as its vice president and its president for over 20 years. He was active in the 1999 March West that commemorated the 125th anniversary of the Northwest Mounted Police, today's RCMP. In 2000, Dick helped to recognize the 125th anniversary of the arrival of Mennonites in Manitoba's West Reserve. What these two events have in common is a connection to Fort Dufferin. It was the headquarters of the International Boundary Commission that mapped the border between the U.S. and Canada in the early 1870s. For decades, Dick has been active in volunteering at Fort Dufferin, where he has assisted in the creation of an interpretive center based on a restored historic building. He's helped to build a walking trail along the Red River, and he's given numerous presentations, often in authentic period costume.
Okay, and who's our final recipient?
Well, again, I said we changed the criteria a little bit to recognize young people, and so our fourth person was Mackenzie Stewart of Clandeboy. She's an emerging historian whose interest in history was even evident at a young age. She created two historical dioramas when she was in junior high. Subsequently, she studied anthropology and history at the University of Winnipeg and Scandinavian studies at the University of Manitoba. And she's worked at the University of Winnipeg to identify, to label, and catalog artifacts that have been acquired through the years by the anthropology and classics departments. Since 2005, Mackenzie has volunteered at the Manitoba Museum. In 2020, she worked at Winnipeg's Ross House Museum as an Indigenous historical interpreter, researching the Ross family artifacts and developing a display on the fur trade in the Red River settlement. In 2021, she was an interpreter and program coordinator at the St. Andrew's Rectory, developing and executing educational programs for children and adults. We really look forward to a long and prosperous career for Mackenzie.
Well, that's an excellent group indeed, Gordon. So what are the nominations for next year's awards due?
If all goes well, we anticipate a nomination deadline of the 1st of March, 2024. But to be honest, nominations can be submitted at any time, and we'll just hang on to them until the next intake. In any given year, the Historical Society receives about 20 nominations or so, and the maximum a number of awards is 5. So that means the probability of success is about 25%. Any person who has been nominated in past years but not selected can be considered again. However, I would urge the nominators in those cases to contact the Historical Society to discuss how to enhance their nomination and increase its likelihood of success.
Okay, folks, so consider your nomination packages now. So what's up for next week, Gordon?
We're going to talk about a restaurant on Main Street here in Winnipeg, now standing empty, that is regarded by many people as a Manitoba institution, even though it was started by a man from Nebraska.
Can't wait. Thanks, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.